there to talk when one needed to talk. And I think that we were able to, Grace beat two full terms of hospice care and got kicked out eventually. So we thought that we did our job. And then she gently let go yesterday morning.
Well,
so,
Alice,
yes, our dear friend.
Our condolences and congratulations for being a part of this great woman's life and being there with her to the end. Alice Jennings, close friend and caretaker of Grace Lee Boggs, lawyer and board member of the James and Grace Lee Boggs Center. Grace Lee Boggs died yesterday at the age of 100. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
This is Jazz. And this is Jazz. And this is Jazz. And contrary to popular opinion, great jazz in all its forms is still being played and recorded on Jazz on the Air every Sunday from 2:30 till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Each week brings a different host with a different perspective on the music, both old and new. Jazz on the Air, Sunday afternoons at 2:30 p.m. on WUSB Stony.
That's right. Yes, yes, that's right. Jazz on WUSB. And this is Off the Wall on WUSB Stony Brook. It's now 6 o'clock.
Thank you.
And welcome to Off the Wall.
Oh, we have lyrics now, huh?
Yeah.
Well, good. It's about time.
I am...
You gonna keep this up the whole hour?
Kyle...
Emmanuel over here. Today, for some reason, I'm louder than...
Emmanuel.
Look at the meters. I'm louder than you this week. Usually, you're louder than me.
I'm working my way up. I'll reach you. You
you're also speaking super mellow.
A little high.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You're higher than me, man.
Uh-huh.
I want to get higher. All right, I'm bringing my levels up. We're here, though.
Yes.
We're here. The station sounds fantastic. This is Off the Wall. I'm Kyle. I'm joined by Emmanuel.
That's the second time we introduced ourselves, but yes, here we are.
Do you want to go for three?
No.
Okay, so yeah, this is a fantastic Tuesday.
Yes.
I'm feeling a little autumn coming on.
Well, yeah, I'm feeling that a bit. I'm feeling mostly curiosity.
Mm.
I find myself asking questions such as, what kind of idiot? How do I phrase this? There are many types of idiots. You know, I don't have time to go over all the different kinds, but what specific kind of idiot does it take to camp out in a parking lot outside a fast food establishment that has not yet opened?
Like, ever opened?
Well,
like
not
ever.
Ever around here.
Wow. What kind of idiot indeed?
I'm trying to figure that one out, you know? What kind? And once I know that, then I can say, oh, okay, now I know that kind of idiot.
It must be something to do with brand loyalty. There must be some kind of fast food that's worth this.
Well, I mean, I've been asked many times, what kind of idiot are you? And, you know, no answer that you give the person asking that ever satisfies them. I've noticed this. You know, run-of-the-mill idiot, garden variety, you know.
Village idiot.
Idiot supreme.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of different answers you can give them, but they never accept any of them. So no matter what you tell me about the people that are camped out right now outside the not yet open Chick-fil-A in Port Jefferson Station, yes, that's the thing. I won't be satisfied with the answer because I cannot fathom why somebody would do that. Let's look at this news article. Maybe we can all fathom together why they're doing this. Now, this has been happening since early this morning. By 9 a.m., they say, the parking lot of Long Island's first Chick-fil-A, yes, the first one ever to dare show its face on Long Island, is only a few miles away from here. And by 9 a.m., that parking lot was dotted with little campsites, and Newsday takes great pride in saying, not a protester in sight. How do you know, Newsday, what a protester looks like? How do you know there aren't silent protests? How do you know there aren't protests going on that you haven't discovered yet?
Yeah, I mean, if you've got campers in your parking lot, I mean, is there a vetting process, some sort of verification that you're part of the in crowd, the one in the know, the one that understands real Chick-fil-A loyalty?
I don't understand. I don't even understand the name. But the place isn't even going to open until tomorrow. Why are people camped out there now, you may ask? Is it just because they really want to go to this place? No, apparently, if you're among the first 100 people in the door on Wednesday, you win a year's worth of Chick-fil-A meals. Now, this story kind of confuses me because whenever I read this, always after they say a year's worth, in parentheses, it says 52. A year's worth, 52 of Chick-fil-A meals.
Is that like one a week?
I guess that's what it is because it's 52 weeks in a year. But it's not really a year's worth of food, is it? It's 52. It's one free meal a week.
Yeah, I think any upstanding American would consider a year's worth of food enough to feed you three times a day and your enormous family enormous amounts of food.
Yeah.
It's your gosh-given right.
Well, they're feeding the people in the parking lot now, too, by the way. They're making food. I guess they're testing it out.
They have like a trough or something?
I'm not sure exactly how that's going. We passed by it on the way over here, too, to look at. And yeah,
I couldn't look. I was busy navigating.
Trying not to get creamed by 18-wheelers on the highway, yeah.
Yeah.
But they were there in tents, and you know, it's cold outside. And you're on a parking lot on Route 347 you know, all night long just to get, what, a free sandwich once a week? You know, that's an awful lot of commitment for that.
People do anything with gimmicks and stuff like that. Like, you know, we could say, call right now. No, I'm not even going
to
do that.
You know, whatever you say, it's not going to work.
No, it wouldn't work if I was trying to do it.
It's not
to illustrate.
It's not because we don't have people out there. It's because people out there are unintelligent, and they're not going to, you know, sacrifice parts of their life.
You get my point,
for
though.
For silliness. No, of course I do.
These kinds of stunts, they can, they're really meant to just get the attention, to captivate. The people involved are just pawns in the grander marketing scheme.
And it results in an article on Newsday.
Look at that. And
me reading it on the radio. Lots of free advertising for them.
Tons.
It's ridiculous. But, you know, I'd like to talk about the quote-unquote protesters. Okay, you know what? Maybe somebody didn't hoist a huge rainbow flag on that flagpole that only today got an American flag on it. It's hard to get a big rainbow flag on short notice.
There are actually a lot of rainbow flags on back order.
And you have to fit it just right onto the pole. It's not nearly as easy as you might think.
Yeah, and there's a lot involved with rigging. I imagine pulleys and, well, anyway. Flag experts are in short supply, too, on short notice.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure that was considered by many people.
Yeah.
As well as planting all kinds of little tiny rainbow flags.
Yeah, I'm sure that was the next logical idea, is putting thousands of tiny rainbow flags in their lawn. Maybe even on the city side of the sidewalk. But
again, where do you get all the little tiny flags? You got to have something that you can stick into the ground attached to them. You know, so it's a lot of legwork, a lot of things that have to be coordinated. So it's not always the easiest thing. But, you know, in spirit, certainly all these things, I think, are happening.
It's slower than what people realize. It takes a while. I don't know. Alibaba's hard to use.
Yes.
First of all, it's not quite eBay. So, but anyway, yeah, there's lots of ideas being thrown around, and I'm really excited by the chatter we're hearing on the underground networks.
Yes. Yeah, there is chatter, I'm sure. If you monitor chatter, you've already heard it.
Yeah.
And know what we're talking about.
But how would the Chick-fil-A people even know? I mean, the people there now could be getting ready to protest.
Maybe the people inside, Kyle, are the protesters. You ever think of that? The staff themselves. Yeah.
Sleeper cells.
That's how good we are.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Anyway, this all, in case you have no idea what we're talking about, this all comes down to comments that were made by Chick-fil-A president Dan Cathy a while ago concerning same-sex marriages. I don't actually have the exact comment he made, but it was offensive, exclusionary, and made Chick-fil-A a dirty word across the country. And now there's one opening here in the Long Island area, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I know that managers and various coordinators were meeting with various gay rights representatives. I'm not exactly sure how those discussions went or what it was that either side was trying to get. Personally, if I was part of that that discussion, I would say, you know, you want to address this. You want to actually back up what you say when you say these are his personal beliefs and don't represent the brand. That's what they say. Then okay, put a rainbow flag up, you know, show that you're inclusive, show that, this is something that you're above, and, that'll send a huge statement.
Yeah. It's like, kind of a nod to their own in infamy.
Yeah.
But, we'll see.
It opens tomorrow. So who knows?
How exciting. What do they even sell? Chicks, fillets of chick.
I guess. I've never been inside one. I don't know. Newsday goes on to list their full menu and prices, and it's really kind of shameful. Yeah, that's what's happening in the local area right now. And again, what kind of idiot waste all this time outside not doing anything else just because you might get a free sandwich if you are one of the first 100 in?
It's, suckers!
Yeah, really. It's so much publicity for them. It's not even funny. What else? The things are going on. I'm thumbing through all my notes here. Okay, something a little bit more exciting happening only 15 minutes after our show in the local area, the space station will be visible.
Oh.
Yeah, I have data here. I got an email from NASA. They like me to kind of help publicize it whenever it does fly over so that people can be aware that NASA is up there and there's people on that thing and, you know, don't forget them. You know, that movie, that Mars movie, it's not quite there yet, but they're getting there, and it's because of what they're doing on that space station.
The most expensive man-made object.
It is. Ever.
Ever.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Wow. Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So get your money's worth. Take a look at it. 7:16 p.m. It's going to be visible for 5 minutes, it's going to be at 71 degrees, which is almost straight up in the sky. 71. It's pretty high up.
That is right, directly up.
It's going to be appearing
in your horizon
in the western southwestern sky, and then it's going to be moving all the way over to the northeastern sky. So it's pretty much passing. You can't miss it. It's clear outside. No tree is going to, unless you're under a tree, there's no way you can miss this.
It's getting darker earlier.
Yeah, it will be dark
conceivably.
By then.
I don't know what the moon's doing these days, but it might be even better because there's
less. The moon's going to stay out of this. The moon has no part in this flyover here. Moon is not going to interfere. We have that on good authority.
All right.
So 7:16 p.m., that's after our show. It's when Finn's show begins, but we won't tell him that we're asking everybody to step outside. You know, bring a radio with you. Why not? Just look up in the sky, and you'll see. What? How would you describe it, Kyle, for someone who has never seen the space station in the sky before?
It looks like a very tiny white light, like a speck of light. It does change a little bit in its luminosity and its brightness and so on, but it's basically a very slow shooting star, but it's not. That's the terrible way to even describe it. It crosses the sky in a very constant, gradual motion, and it has its own sort of arc, and obviously because it's orbiting, it's completely independent of terrestrial stuff. So it can change sort of how it appears. It may look like it's going straight up, like in direction, and then start shifting to another direction because of its actual orbit.
It'll look like an airplane at first. When you first see it, you'll say, "Oh, there's an airplane," it's kind of bright. But then when you look at it, you'll notice, "Hey, that's moving kind of weird. Like it's kind of moving sideways and then frontwards." And
sometimes
it'll suddenly fade out too when it's at the point where, you know, the 5 minutes have passed. So it's really, really interesting to see, especially for the first time.
Yeah, exactly. You'll know it when you see it because of its constant brightness and steady movement. And it really isn't. It's easy to recognize once you've seen it a couple times, and it's a lot of fun to track and just marvel at something that's so far away.
Yeah.
And being that it is predictable and we can see the schedule and anticipate it, definitely incorporate it into your stargazing activities, because it's a really neat sight. And you can see it sometimes. We've seen it with the shuttle nearby and other kinds of objects.
That was crazy.
Satellites.
It was actually after one of our shows.
Discovery, I believe, was the shuttle.
We went out to see the space station, and we forgot that the shuttle had launched and was on its way to the space station. And we saw the space station going by, just like we thought. And then we saw what looked like a second space station, and that was actually the shuttle on its way to the space station. And they were, you know, kind of separated by maybe an eighth of the sky, but it was clear that they were on the same trajectory.
I remembered it as them leaving. Like the next day, they had just departed.
Maybe it was that.
And we might have seen, we saw it over several different days during the course of the mission, but you get familiar, you get to know what's going on up there and then what you're actually seeing and what it looks like. So if you follow with the activities, any kind of special projects they're doing up there, you can kind of follow along with what you're seeing above you in the sky. So yes, it's a really neat phenomena. So definitely check that out.
Again, 7:16 p.m. local time. I'm not sure how this works in other parts of the country. I don't know if you see it at the same time or a different time, but I'm just looking at the data that was sent locally. And 7:16 p.m., and again, it's going to go from the west-southwest to the northeast, and pass almost directly overhead, and it'll be visible for 5 minutes. So that's something to literally set your watch for.
Cool, cool.
Yeah. Now, here's something else interesting. I'm doing a lot of Long Island things tonight.
Yes.
There is this place out in Calverton, out east. We were talking about solar panels and things that they're doing out there.
Uh-huh.
Here's something else they're doing, which is kind of interesting. There's this place called Skydive Long Island, and they are using that property by a widely known .com company, which is remaining nameless. They are planning on using the newly acquired property of a skydiving company in Calverton to develop high-altitude solar-powered drones that can beam internet service. Yeah, that's what's happening out east.
Sounds like Google.
Well, I don't know. I basically, this guy, Raymond Maynard, he sold a hangar and a 16.3-acre property of Skydive Long Island. Says Calverton was chosen because the buyer was seeking a limited-use airport. He said that a non-disclosure agreement barred him from identifying the company funding
totally
Illuminati,
Google.
But he said you already know their name.
Google.
Okay, well, whatever. I'm not going to get involved in this. But basically, Brooklyn-based Illuminati Aerospace acquired the property. They're backed by a widely known company that plans to build the drones, flying at 90,000 feet to beam internet service to communities that lack service. I guess, like, Setauket.
Pretty much
and
everywhere in
East
the United
Setauket
States.
And, is it just local? 90,000 feet? I don't know how far that'll get. Basically, that's says here, it goes into Google here. It says Google has been researching the feasibility of transmitting internet service from balloons. And Facebook has been working to develop a fleet of solar-powered drones that could beam data to the ground. Sounds more like Facebook is doing
this. Oh, okay.
This.
So maybe it's Facebook.
In a post on the social network Monday, Chief Executive Mark Zuckerberg said Facebook is also working with French satellite company Eutelsat Communications SA.
I saw that story this week. Yeah.
To launch a satellite in 2016 to transmit internet service to sub-Saharan Africa. Interesting things happening locally, nationally, internationally. But none of which compares to the exciting news I just saw today, where ABC Family Network is changing its name yet again.
Really?
Yeah. You know, this network has changed its name more times than any TV network I can remember. Have you watched them, ABC Family?
No.
Oh. Well, maybe you have and you just don't know it. They originally started back in the 1970s as the Christian Broadcasting Network. And then they thought that was a little too Christian, so they renamed themselves
Disney.
No, CBN. CBN stands for Christian Broadcasting Network.
Right.
But they put it into initials.
It's more like CNN.
CBN, yeah. Satellite Service. And then they rebranded in 1988 as the CBN Family Channel. You see where this is going now.
Oh.
They lost the CBN. All the while they've been doing this, they have kept airing the 700 Club every morning. So no matter what the channel is called, they always air that Pat Robertson program because that's who used to own the network. And that's part of the sale. That's part of the name change. You have to keep airing the 700 Club every morning. So anyway, they changed to the CBN Family Channel. Then they changed to the Family Channel. Then Fox Family Channel when Fox bought them. Then Disney got in the act. Then it became the ABC Family Channel. And now, today they announced they're going to be dropping the word family and renaming themselves
The Channel.
Why do you have to step on me when I'm announcing the name?
Damn it. Sorry.
Then, all right. So now they're dropping the family and they're going to call themselves Freeform. Say it, Kyle. Freeform.
Freeform.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Freeform.
Freeform. If you see a see the program on Freeform last night. No, it's
Freeform.
It's a horrible name. But they're going to keep airing the 700 Club, so don't fear about that.
Whew.
Yeah.
Thank God.
And then there's a story about this other radio station. We won't name names, but their call letters are WNTI.
Okay.
And they're in Hackettstown, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
They're at 91.9 FM. And their staff has just been locked out by the college. It sounds very familiar. Now, we're not locked out. We don't have that problem. But non-commercial radio does have its concerns as far as futures. You know, it depends on listener support, depends on the whim of whatever university they happen to be attached to, if they are attached to a university. And in this particular case, their university had the whim to hand the station over. Centenary College apparently is giving the station to NPR, National Public Radio, or some other entity. It's kind of unclear right now. It's reported that mostly volunteer air staff were locked out of the studio yesterday. One staffer says the station was sold to NPR. That's cast in doubt, though, since NPR doesn't actually buy stations. Another staffer is quoted as saying WNTI will be leased to another public radio operator, which makes much more sense. Station's currently running jockless. Jockless, meaning that they're just basically running a computer program. Outside of the syndicated program it carries, they do NPR News on the hour. They've been doing that for a while anyway. And Centenary, this is the part that really pisses me off the most. Centenary, I don't know how to say that. Centenary College, yes. They intend to relaunch the station as a student-run webcaster. So the way they're going to placate all the students that they just kicked out is to let them have an internet website.
Here, kids. Here.
Anybody can go to.
Here's your little radio station.
Yeah.
Come on. Okay, click there. There it is. Oh.
WNTI serves the northwestern corner of New Jersey and Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. And now they're going to tell them, oh, by the way, you serve the whole world now because, well, anybody can go on the internet and listen to you. But, you know, they could have done that before with their webcast was attached to their broadcast. And broadcasts are a lot more important because they're so rare. And that's what radio is all about, broadcasting. Anybody can put something on the internet. Anybody can do that. Whether you're any good at it, that's something that comes with all kinds of experience and practice and the kind of environment that that you get in a radio station where people are learning how to operate equipment, how to basically share information about music, how to develop their speaking skills, etc. So it's that's the difference, really. And what they're doing is they're kicking all the students out, as we've seen many times before, handing it over to some corporate entity, and giving the students a little toy to play with and telling them that that's the same thing when it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, and they come in and they, under the auspices of being management or otherwise, just doing the operations. But if you can't survive as an entity, I mean, that stuff's not radio. Yeah, it's not fun and exciting, but it is a necessary evil. You have to take care of yourself. I mean, it is a reality of how it works, that I think people volunteering and people just learning about it should also be exposed to. They shouldn't be like sheltered from that and learning how to pitch and work within the community model is integral to its survival. And just because that's hard, or maybe that you're not, you don't have the community to do it, or you don't want to have the will to continue as a community doing it. There's no replacement then when you switch to something else. Okay, great. Yeah, we don't have to do this anymore because we've lost that as a resource. But are those really sacrifices that are worth it in the long run? Because I mean, you're not actually doing radio at that point. It's as you said, like a podcast or a stream, a little toy.
Yeah. And this station had a big history too. I'm going to read a little bit about from their website, which is still up. WNTI is licensed to and operated by Centenary College. First went on the air December 8th, 1958. Studios are located on the first floor of the David and Carol Lackland Center on the campus of Centenary College in Hackettstown, New Jersey. WNTA operates 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, broadcasting on 91.9 FM and also streaming live. Their transmitter is located in Independence Township in Warren County, New Jersey. They are member and underwriter supported, 75% of their funding coming from private sources. They have local news. They have regional public affairs programming. Dedicated staff is committed to providing and creating a quality public radio service for the region. Our programming is produced locally, regionally, and nationally. National Public Radio and independent producers are the main source of national programs. Well, that's all changed because everyone's locked out now, and
that's not even that cool.
Yeah.
Wait, what'd you say?
The college is going to decide what to put on the air.
Yeah, I mean, having NPR do national programming, there's some great stuff with PRI and so on, but NPR's not it. And I've been in institutions, one of the first schools I went to, they had a pretty thriving radio station. It was downtown, had its own building. I never actually saw it, but eventually they were bought by an NPR affiliate under the auspices, as I said, of operations and management. And then, you know, the station got moved sort of on campus in the bottom of some building that no one ever went to other than for biology or something. It just was completely fragmented as a result. And that really hurts. It really hurts an institution that maybe has the number one, you know, number two or three communications program and a lot of interest. It really kind of takes it down a couple notches when the resource itself is kind of upended and you're really relegated into something it was never in the first place. And you miss out. You know, you don't get as much exposure.
Very true. Very true. That's it for them. Well, at least, you know, if you listen to what they're saying on their Twitter feed, which is WNTI Radio, they say so long and thanks for all the fish. That was yesterday, and Hitchhiker's God reference there. Right. And then today, thank you all for listening and for your support. Centenary College sold out license. They meant to say sold our license as a typo and a three-letter word in the tweet. What do you expect these days? WNTI is over. You know, they're not really fighting very much. They're accepting it, and that's unfortunate that, that that's how it's going.
Yeah, clearly that community's gone somewhere else already.
Yeah. So a bit of sad news there.
Yeah, that is sad. But that's all the more reason to keep listening to WUSB and other fantastic community radio stations like us.
Yeah, we aim for that not to happen to us.
Yeah, that's a demise we'd like not to see.
Yeah. And here's some good news for you. Our team in the Europa League, FC Michelin from Denmark.
Yes.
They played last Thursday, and they won. They won. And that puts them in a tie with Napoli for the leading part of their four-team division, Group D, in the group stage.
Well, bravo.
Yeah, so we play them next, though, and that's going to be kind of tough because I think they're the best team in the group. But since we have 6 points and they have 6 points, and the other two teams, one from Belgium and one from Poland, both have zero, we're in good shape right now. We're in good shape right now, and we have, I think we're about a third of the way through the games, and the next matches take place in a couple of weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a quick update on Europa League.
Cool.
And we're following that team because of all the randomness that got us.
Starting with Nyntan Griff.
Yes, over a year ago in the England FA Cup. And
way and back when.
We wound up going to the Europa League and following the winner of whatever match we were selecting.
I would like to catch one of those games. I think somehow we'll have to try to watch at least one or two, just at least to be up in the mix, because I feel like I've missed a whole bunch in between. Well, all of them in between, and I really should settle in and watch a few.
So far, these ones haven't been televised. The highlights have been, but not anything involving Michelin.
A full game. Okay.
But maybe the next game against Napoli will be broadcast. That's possible.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
We'll
okay.
Okay, so where do we go from here? I guess we got to talk about the latest gun mishap in this country.
Yes.
Because people expect us to, and because everybody else is as well. But we offer our unique perspectives that nobody else has. That's why they're unique. I don't know what to say. I really don't, because it's frustrating.
Yeah, wait. Okay, let's start with this. Why don't you qualify? Which gun mishap are you talking about?
Yeah, this is the one that happened in Oregon last Thursday, I believe.
Yes, the Umpqua Community College shooting massacre,
yeah, and
as it is referred to. Yes.
I'm just going to look at this headline that came out in The Guardian one day afterwards. And the headline pretty much says it all. Oregon college shooting is all the more reason to carry guns, say local residents. interviews with almost a dozen residents of the Oregon community yielded unanimity on their biggest threats, gun control and Barack Obama. You see, I consider this to be delusional at best, because if you watched what Obama said on Thursday, we both watched it together.
Yeah.
There is not one syllable of that I could find anything objectionable or disagreeable about. He is confronting the fact that we have a problem. We have a problem, and we're not dealing with it.
A sickness, I think.
A sickness. Other countries have mentally ill people as well. but they have more rational gun laws, and they don't have this problem, cause and effect. We have to do something about this. What is there to argue about? No one is saying you have to give up whatever it is that you hold dear to yourselves. It's basically saying you can't just hand guns out like candy to people, which is what we do in this country.
And not be liable, right? Not without consequences. You can't just...
Well, that's where we are now. These are the consequences.
Yeah, and there should be liability from manufacturers, right? I mean, the industry itself cannot just be excused in any way. I mean, there's some responsibility beyond just talking about mental health. I mean, I think that there was some great discussions about this yesterday in the media, and simply saying that that it is only when we're in these moments that we talk about mental health in this country. And it's true. We're scapegoating this industry's persistence, the money they're making on the excuse is being kind of the blame sort of is dislocated onto people that are actually, you know, suffering and have that's so unfair.
Yeah.
So unfair. I think the people that are that need to cling to this so much are mentally ill.
Well, okay, that's a very good point. And that's a point I'd like to make as well. First of all, a couple of facts, and these are facts. You look them up. You can distort them after you look them up. Most mentally ill people, the vast majority of mentally ill people, are not violent. All right? That's a fact. And most, I think it's something like 95% or definitely in the 90s, most perpetrators of such acts as what we've seen are not or were not classified as mentally ill before any of that happened.
Yeah, not until they get into the courtroom.
So, okay, yeah, and they use that as a defense, maybe, if they even make it that far. Point is, okay, so with that knowledge, how do you intend to label the people as mentally ill so that you can get the guns out of their hands? You have no chance of doing that because they're not mentally ill. And good luck trying to get guns away from somebody that you consider to be mentally ill and they don't. Guaranteed the NRA is going to back them up, not you. So this is a ridiculous argument when people say it's not the guns that are the problem, it's the mentally ill people. Well, okay, and to latch on to what you said, Kyle, I think this... This stance, this delusional behavior, is a form of mental illness. When people think that guns are more important than safety, and we are talking that choice because all these people running around now with guns that have no idea what they're doing and can't control their anger and have all sorts of other issues, that is a safety issue, a big one that we have been led into by the very same gun lobby. Now we are in a bad situation. I think if we can find any common ground, I think we can say that we all agree there are too many guns out there in the wrong hands. I think we can all agree on that statement. And we can then take it back a little bit and say, you know, how did all the guns get into the wrong hands in the first place? It was through this permissiveness that allowed anybody to just go out and get one. All right, now we're in a situation where all the wrong people have them. And this is where we differ. One side says we have to figure out how to get these guns back or stop giving them out like candy. The other side says we need more guns to counter the guns that are out there already. Where does that end? It's just insanity. It literally is insanity. And that's what we're hearing when we see the quote-unquote pundits talking about this. They are suggesting solutions that, you know, if this were funny, it would be absurd. It's not funny, though. These people are serious.
They're hollow solutions, right? They're really, like, aimed at protecting an industry that is profiting from abject violence and directly or indirectly. And we aren't, I think, able to use the older methods of working out problems, actually talking, maybe even getting in a fist fight. I mean, there's like a whole generation that won't even fight, basically.
Because they're afraid that
they'll go right to the guns or they'll go right to just annihilating whoever disagrees with them. And that attitude, that squat. That is like denial of service, right? Mm-hmm. In computers, that's it's basically I'm going to shut you down because I disagree. It's not working anything out.
No.
It's not a dialogue. It's not constructive or healthy or even I don't know, helpful in any way. It just mm-hmm. Is meant to be to keep people at odds in a lot of ways. Anyway.
Well, let's look at a couple more interesting facts that
we're getting a couple phone calls. So,
I'm sure we are.
If we have time.
But you know, I just kind of like to get this out because it always turns into the same thing. And I find that people disagree on this more than anything else, and it just seems so commonsensical. Is that a word? Commonsensical to me. That we have to deal with this problem, that there is just too many of these things out there, and getting more of them is not the answer. And the people who say that, yeah, if only some of those students were armed, really, that is what you want. You want a bunch of armed students walking around all the college campuses, and you're going to assume that nothing's ever going to go wrong. There's not going to be an argument or a fight amongst them, that previously law-abiding people suddenly get into something emotional and they lose control.
Because of access.
Exactly.
Ready access and insanely loose laws and standards. And this industry that wants proliferation of arms domestically and under the auspices of safety now. Mm-hmm. They're using the tragedies that have been a result of their flourishing, right? Their massive industry as rationale for more sales.
Right, right. It just pains me to see people that I consider to be intelligent buying into this and not even engaging in a constructive conversation where anything less than their position is considered. You know, we all hear this Second Amendment nonsense. I'm not calling the Second Amendment nonsense. I'm calling their interpretation of it nonsense. You know, we can go over what the Founding Fathers meant, but the fact of the matter is, it was a long time ago. It was a different world then. Hey, you know, I can remember growing up as a kid, it was a different world then, you know? And there weren't mass shootings all the time. You know, a lot of kids were playing with toy guns, I'll say that.
Right.
It was weird how there was more of that then than there is now, but now there are more real shootings.
Right.
I would rather have the kids running around playing with toy guns, maybe because it seemed like such a throwback to the Wild West or something that it was fantasy and therefore harmless.
I think they get
into it. And today people will get shot by a cop because the cop thought it was a real gun.
Yeah, definitely. I think because that play is not as prevalent, they get into it later and skip the play altogether and it just goes right to the tools.
Exactly.
That's
it. That's what happened. I think it happened today, actually. Let me see if I have this story. A horrible story out of Tennessee. I think it happened yesterday, actually. 11-year-old kid killed an 8-year-old kid because she wouldn't let him play with her puppy.
That was it? I thought it was like a existential discussion over puppies, the idea of them, and so on.
Kid's 11, Kyle.
Okay.
Not having existential conversation about puppies, but fully capable of handling a shotgun.
So he was like, give me your puppy. And I love that. Oh, dad's going to teach you how to use the gun, you know, so he's expert at using the gun, but you know, dad's not teaching anything about emotions and consequences and stuff.
This is what easy access to guns does. It's obviously the parents did a very bad job with gun safety in that house.
I'm sure the gun's clean as a whistle.
But parents do bad jobs on just about everything parents have to do a job on. So if you add guns into the mix, they're going to do a bad job on that too. So ask yourself, is that really worth going through the hell that these families are now going through? Anyway, let's look at a couple of the statistics here, which I find to be kind of interesting. Civilians in the United States own about 270 million guns. That's almost one for every person in the States. Do you realize that?
Man, woman, child, and dog.
I don't know if dogs are included, but
that's close enough.
But that's according to a 2007 report. So imagine how much it's grown. That's before Obama.
Right, and those are official sales or gosh knows
it's
what
just
people
how
have.
How many are out there? But the fact that I have to say before Obama tells you how irrational this is, because all these people went out and bought guns because of Obama. What does that say? What exactly is the threat that you perceived would make you have to run out and get ammunition and guns? You see where it's kind of delusional here. Kind of delusional. I know there are people I won't convince, but maybe even if one person out there says, yeah, you know, that was stupid. That doesn't make any sense at all. What am I doing? I consider that a victory.
I know people.
Obama has delivered statements on gun violence 15 times during his presidency. After the latest shooting, he said the nation had become numb to the carnage. He said, we know that other countries, in response to one mass shooting, have been able to craft laws that almost eliminate mass shootings. Friends of ours, allies of ours, Great Britain, Australia, countries like ours, so we know there are ways to prevent it. And look at Australia. That's a great example of a country that addressed this, and it's gone down to, you know, to practically nil. There are incidents, of course. There are incidents all over the world, but not on a repeated level like there are in this country. And it's just, it's sad and it's embarrassing. The other thing, U.S. gun violence kills significantly more people than terrorism, even if you factor in 9/11. So think about that. I think it's like 1,000 to 1. So these are numbers you can't really dispute because they're numbers. These are facts. You can try and spin them the way you'd like to spin them, but it's not an argument as far as what these numbers are saying. We live in a society where this is a problem, and I don't have the answer. I will admit freely, I don't have the answer. How do you deal with this? I had one answer, which I thought might be kind of possible, but probably not. And that's to make every gun that's out there right now worth $10,000. So you come, you bring your gun, you get $10,000 for the gun you own. But you can't get another one. You can't just go out and buy another one. You get $10,000. I think you have to have a cap. Otherwise, we'd have instant millionaires in Kentucky. But the idea is to get all these guns out of the hands of people that would rather have money instead. We don't sell more guns. We destroy those guns. And I think we even have something on ammunition. Okay, my plan for ammunition. If you have ammunition, you have to fire the ammunition. You have to use it now. Just have, like, fire guns up into the air. Not above your head, obviously, but, you know, just have a good old time. Use all the ammunition. Get it all done. If you think that you're going to need the ammunition to fight the government or something like that, again, delusional. You never win in the first place. But the idea is just get rid of these things. Get rid of them somehow. Yeah, it might make the economy nosedive or something because of all the money that's being paid out. But I think in the end, whenever that is, it'll be beneficial. It's a crazy idea, I know, but no crazier than arming kindergarten teachers, which I've heard from people who think they're serious.
Or pilots.
Pilots, yes.
There was that, you know, when the whole MH-380 thing was going on. Oh, well, you should have a gun in the cockpit. And
The other thing, you know, that really bugs me. I was going to read the story last week, actually, before the massacre happened. I'm just going to read you the headline. We lost our daughter to a mass shooter and now owe $203,000 to his ammo dealer, the ammo dealer of the mass shooter. That was the Aurora, Colorado shooting. This couple decided to sue the ammo dealer.
Yeah.
The ammunition dealer, because had this guy not been able to get the ammunition so easily, their daughter might still be alive. And not only did they lose the case, now they have to pay $203,000 to the ammunition dealer. You see, to me, and this is something I say...
For legal fees.
That's the thing. The legal fees were covered. What they are going to do is just hand that money out to various gun rights groups. They've announced this. Now, okay, I'm addressing the people that will never agree with my position, and there's plenty of people like that out there. How about showing a little decency here? This does not make you look good. This makes you look like really bad people. First of all, these guys lost their child, okay? They may be doing something that you consider to be wrong, but that doesn't mean you should be mocking them, doesn't mean you should be trying to hurt them even more. You know, that amount of money should never have been thrown their way because of what they went through. And they should not be mocked by the gun lobby for having the audacity to come up against an ammunition dealer. You know, if you feel they're wrong, then they're wrong. But save the anger and insults for somebody that hasn't gone through the trauma that they've gone through. They don't seem to get this. Because if you look at any comments that come after a news story, if you look at the comments of the people involved in this, you'll just see the hostility aimed at the victims. And are we really going to debate that they're victims? They obviously are victims. So That really annoys me, the callousness that I see so many times. We saw the same thing with James Brady. Remember James Brady? He was the assistant to or press secretary to Ronald Reagan. Shot
the Brady Bill.
After he got shot and wounded seriously for life.
Right.
He became very anti-gun, and the animosity against this guy was simply unbelievable. You know, he basically has earned the right to be anti-gun in anybody's eyes.
Yeah.
So they never should have been, to use a bad phrase, targeting him. As the enemy. He's somebody that deserved compassion.
So there's definitely precedent for this kind of harassment of people that even symbolically could be a threat to the cold, dead hands out there.
Yeah, yeah. It's just frustrating to see the way that the argument is framed.
I think that's what I'm going to start calling them.
What?
Cold, dead hands. I like that. I like that.
If you want to go into the lay and take a couple of phone calls, I'm open to it.
Okay.
But don't expect me to argue my point anymore.
All right.
Do you have something queued up?
Yeah, let's see if I can do this.
WUUSB 90.1 FM in Stony Brook.
And we should be in delay. As soon as I get my audio, hello, you're on WUSB.
Oh, hi, how you doing?
I'm pretty well.
I was listening to your conversation, and
could you turn your radio down?
Yeah, please turn your radio down.
What?
Turn your radio down a little.
I was listening to your conversation on the radio, and, you know, if you want to take it a step further, you could look at the different countries in the world and see the escalation of the arms race in all these countries.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
That are trying to develop more and more sophisticated ways to kill each other.
Absolutely, yep, yep.
And, you know, it's something that a lot of times is left out of these conversations because it's brought down to the primal level of a person that is irrational and gets his hand on a tool that he in no way, shape, or form should have any business, you know, even being there.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's stark parallels. I mean, what kind of role model are we as a nation out there building and conquering and so on with incredible profits as far as weapons and the military industrial machine there. Absolutely. I agree. That's interesting framing. We should look at that in from a bit further back.
Yeah, like you hear all these politicians say, okay, we're gonna take the guns away from, you know, people, make it harder for them to get it. But what about all the guns in the arms race that they're involved in?
Yeah.
Right.
You never hear them not once mention it.
Yeah, this has come up recently also, I think, definitely in the context of drones, and there was even protests in Germany about having signals sent to the drones through their airbase, command and control signals for drones. Germany didn't want it transiting their network or their military systems, because that's basically what we were doing. We were operating through their bases, because of proximity, obviously, in the area to Afghanistan and those areas. So that comes to mind when I think about this. But you raise the point. It's often anesthetized when you watch the generals and so on. They talk about in strategic terms, and it's very sort of scientific the way they talk about it. But it is killing. It's death. I mean, that they'll probably be the first to admit that it's war is war. So, anyway, thanks for your comment.
Oh, can I just make one more first point?
Sure.
Yeah, now, on the other hand, you know, I happen to be a security guard, and, you know, I'm an armed guard, as a matter of fact, and with my children, I taught them, you know, not at an early age, but at a reasonable age, that guns are dangerous.
Yeah, they are.
And you know, there's proper ways to handle guns. The same way you would teach your kid how to drive a car or you would teach your kid how to, you know, with any tool that could kill you.
Mm-hmm. Do you talk to them about anger and stress too?
You have to have a lot. You have to have respect for it. You know, there is a use for these things in critical situations, because as long as violence is the ultimate politic, and when all other reason or communication fails, we're going to be faced with these kind of situations, unfortunately.
All right. Thanks very much for the call.
Yeah, that's the sad truth there. You do so eloquently sort of sum it up. But as I said, I hope you teach them about stress and emotions and all that stuff too, because it's just as important as learning safe handling techniques with all kinds of tools. Anyway, thanks for that, and we'll take this next call. Hello, you are on WUSB. This is Off the Wall.
Hey, how are we doing?
We're all right. How's it going with you?
Glad to hear it. Real quick, I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's actually pretty funny. On YouTube or search for Archie Bunker's view on gun control.
Oh, boy. Is this the one where he says hand out guns to people getting on airplanes and then take
you
them?
Blew it, but yeah, exactly
you
what
take
said,
them back when they get off that weight? Yeah.
It's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because that was laughed at universally. It was his way of protecting airplanes against hijackers. You simply give everyone a gun. That way, if the hijacker takes over the airplane, everyone is armed. It was seen as ridiculous. Just like when Ronald Reagan was elected, it was seen as ridiculous. But now we take it all seriously. Like, this is actually a solution. It's no more a solution now than it was then. But thanks for bringing that up.
All right. I'll see you guys.
All right. Hey, where are you calling from?
I'm in Quorum. Beautiful downtown, straight out of Quorum.
All right. Straight out of Quorum. All right. Hey, you have fun out there, and okay. Thanks for your call. Thanks for listening.
Yep.
All right.
Shall we try to exit delay?
Yeah, sure. We'll have to. We'll take calls another time, and let's see how quickly I can get us back. And we're back.
Wow, that was the smoothest yet.
Wow, I'm getting good. I can't help but be awful proud of myself.
You're the delay master of the station now, I think.
I'm getting good. You know, it's a tricky system.
I just wanted to make one point, though, before we actually leave tonight. By the way, our email address, otw@2600.com, if there's something you'd like to say that you couldn't say over the air. But, you know, one of the things that I hear a lot is that guns are not the problem. It's the people that are the problem. I hear that all the time, and it's like people are viewing guns as individuals with rights, and leave the guns alone. It's the people causing the problem. I agree with you. I don't want to regulate guns. How about we regulate people? Leave the guns alone. Guns are perfect. They do exactly what they're supposed to do.
That's right.
It's the people that are idiots.
But that's that conflating of rights to bear arms, people's rights,
mm-hmm.
and conflating it with the actual tool. Jackhammers don't have rights.
That's unfortunate. You're right.
Wheelbarrows
don't
have rights.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know of any other tool that people are in such love with as that one. You know, and it's
Good pipe wrench.
It's disturbing. You just bought a pipe wrench.
It's nothing like I bought a really nice pipe wrench.
Wow.
I'm really watch out.
All right, I take that back. There are some tools that people really do love, but yeah, it's just something we need to think about more. I hope people do that, and we have some thoughts to leave with, I guess.
Yes. Well, until next time. Thanks for listening.
They got something to say. There's a turning into monsters. won't be long. Cause kids with guns, kids with guns. Easy does it, easy does it. They've got something to say.
Now they're turning us into monsters. Turning us into fire. Turning us into monsters. It's all desire. It's all desire. It's all desire.
It's real. It's real. It's real.
Hey kids, this is Finn, Finn's Revolution, with you until the 9 p.m. hour. Special guest tonight, Mr. Alabaster Rum. That's right, you heard correctly. Alabaster Rum will be giving away some tickets to his new show, which is happening this Saturday in NYC. And also, Chad Gracia, filmmaker. Tickets for that, too, on Monday. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
just a few moments from now, Alabaster Rum on the air with us with some tickets to his new show, which will be opening in New York City this Saturday. And yeah, so in the meanwhile, here's something new from Keith Richards on WUSB Stony Brook.
Okay, roll. Someone stole some money. Who it is, it ain't quite clear. Stolen from my honey, she holds my stash right here. The cops, you know, I can't involve them. They'd only interfere. So I hit the usual suspects, but I drew a blank round there. I'm robbed blind, robbed blind. Found a letter to her. It was from her, a friend of mine. It was a plan to screw me. That's what they had in mind. The cops, I can't involve them. Don't want them coming near. 'Cause this thing is getting personal, and the picture is now quite clear. I'm robbed blind, robbed blind, bled dry. Matters, and he ain't hard to find. 'Cause it ain't the money, honey, but the heart you stole is mine. They're the cops, I can't involve them. God knows what they could find. I've learned a lesson from the hat girl, whose fate is yet to be defined. Been robbed blind, robbed blind, robbed blind. Thank you, sweetheart. Bled dry. That was a damn good try.
Just a few minutes from now, Alabaster Rum is going to be on the air with us. We're going to hear a little snippet of a couple of songs from his upcoming show, How to Prepare Heart, right here on WUSB Stony Brook. So let's hear a little tiny bit of this.
But my mind is of the kind that won't just let me in your bliss be a part. How I wish that I could just forget my ways, get lost in your charm. been delivered and sent down the river of time. And it goes tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick. Then I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm gone, then I'm gone. And life has been bigger than I have ever been able to deliver. I go who, what, when, or where, how many more till I'm gone. Why me? Why me? Blood red apples in my socket,